Today's step is step number three, investigating your triggers. What do we do when we get to the place of like, okay, I have this body image thought that I no longer want to experience, feel, have in my life? How do I move through this? And for me, exploring body image like an archaeological dig allowed me to shift my destination, right? I was no longer on a road to body love or, you know, a positive body image. And I don't have to gaslight myself with affirmations that just don't really land. And so when I shifted from the perspective of I'm on a journey to I'm on an archaeological dig, it allowed me to gain back some agency over my healing exploration. And so how do we begin to become explorers and investigators of our body image in a way that feels good to our nervous system, in a way that is trauma-informed, that is not going to leave us in a more activated place than we started? We're going to talk all about this in today's episode. We're also going to cover why we investigate our body image triggers, why distress occurs, and we're going to give you some tangible things you can do right now today to explore your body image triggers in a trauma-informed way. So before we begin, I want to remind everybody that the doors for my signature Body Grievers membership are officially open. One of the things that I get asked all of the time is, would you ever host an in-person Body Grievers retreat? And coming home from Costa Rica really showed me that it's so needed, because there were so many people who were activated when we were in Costa Rica. And had I had the opportunity to coach them, had I had the opportunity to walk with them before we got to Costa Rica, we might have avoided some really unnecessary struggle. So if you saw us go to Costa Rica and thought, that sounds amazing, I wish I could have gone, but you were scared that you might have been activated or maybe experienced some body image distress, if you are somebody who is just continually getting stuck when it comes to body grief, and you have watched our lives, you are watching our podcasts, and the stuff that we're teaching you is working and you're still stuck, you might need to find somebody like us to collaborate with you in your individual journey. All of the time, people will say, can you give us steps? Can you give us tips? And I don't like giving out tips because it's not a universal process. Healing is not a universal process. But I do believe that between Jana and I, we have really cultivated an environment of healing. And that is what the magic is of our Body Grievers membership. So all of the details for our Body Grievers membership, plus the retreat, are in the link in the show notes and in my bio. I am happy to hop on a call and answer any questions if you are seriously considering joining us for 2024. I would say that this offer is ideal for the person who is ready to leave dieting and their anti-fat bias in 2023. If you have tried to do it on your own and you are ready to make the emotional and financial investment into a high supportive container, I really want to encourage you to come and join us for the Body Grievers 2024 membership and Northeast retreat. If you're interested, you can DM me and let me know that you're interested in the Body Grievers retreat and membership. We are looking for a select few.
Jana, let's go over a little bit of what are some ways that folks can experience body image distress
in the work that we do. One of the ones we hear is clothing, whether that's switching over seasonal clothing, whether that's needing some new clothing. We hear a lot of distress about, what does it mean if I have to get a different size or my clothing is tight? We also hear a lot around, I'm going to this event, and a lot of times it's a big event, like a wedding, or I haven't seen these people in a really long time. It's like, well, my size has changed. What if people notice that I put on some weight? Things have happened. My body has changed sizes. A huge one is pictures. Like all the time, we are hearing, I looked at a picture and I can't believe this is what I really look like. And the discomfort that goes along with that.
Yeah. And I would say that maybe on a bigger picture, no pun intended, but like it's more of like those bigger things of like clothing and pictures. But really what I would say is it comes down to body changes. Has my body gained weight? Have I lost privileges? If you are interested in hearing more about how I even just experienced this, I just did a live. I will link that in the show notes. And it'll eventually become a podcast episode where I will hot seat coach myself through a distressful body image experience where we had just got back from Costa Rica in the Miami airport. The SkyTrain was closed. And rather than ask for the accommodation of a wheelchair, I opted to just push through. And I knew that there was some underlying ableism that was motivating that experience, that it wasn't because I knew I could do it. It wasn't being motivated of like, I want to challenge myself. It was motivated purely out of, I shouldn't need this. And this is exactly the framework that we bring our clients through when there is some sticky body image that isn't serving them. Distressful body image is a lot like a fire alarm that is going off even when there isn't a fire. Basically, anytime we cook in my house, the fire alarm just goes off arbitrarily. It's trying to do a job, but it's not doing what it's intended to do. It senses smoke and it's like, oh, we got to go off. And it's loud and it's abrasive and it's uncomfortable. And at the end of the day, I'm glad that the fire alarm works, but it can be really, really frustrating. What are some of the reasons that the fire alarm goes off for body image? What are some of the reasons we get triggered by body distress?
That body image alarm is feelings or thoughts or things like that of panic. There's something wrong here, right? So I need to do something different. Like there's that thing. And I think that it gets triggered a lot of times because we're kind of conditioned to think that there's something wrong, especially when we bring in some health component of like, you need to do this for your health, right? Like, it's just conditioning, societal conditioning that there's something wrong if I'm feeling this way or thinking this way.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've been trained that if your body gets bigger, the immediate response should be, oh no. I call it the oh shit moment. When is there something to be concerned for? Or is this how we've just been conditioned to believe that this is a bad thing or something is wrong?
We're also have trauma, legitimate trauma responses, that things that have happened to us, right? There's some legitimate trauma because we have a lot of anti-fat bias in our society.
I always think back to when I was an adolescent kid and I didn't fit into last season's clothes, or we would go school shopping and we would start with the sizes that I was the year before. And when I wouldn't fit, the response from the people I was shopping with would be, you don't fit in last year's sizes. And what did that teach an adolescent Bree? It right. said, this is bad. Something is wrong here. So it makes sense that current day Bree would get panicked when her clothes don't fit, as opposed to being something innocuous. Like this morning, I was cleaning out a jar and it broke. And I was disappointed, but I didn't say, you're so stupid for breaking the glass. Mm-hmm. It was just the glass is broken. Glass has got to go in the trash. There was no story there about me because of the broken glass, but there was still feeling of like, I really liked this. I'm disappointed. So we want to be able to explore and investigate our triggers in a way that feels good to our nervous system, in a way that doesn't trigger past traumas from coming up. And so one of the ways that I would encourage folks to do this is I want you to think about what are the things that are coming up from a body image perspective that are impacting your everyday functioning. Mm-hmm. When you think about the things that you want to do. So I know, Jana, you've talked about walking into a room and being consumed with, am I the largest person here?
Absolutely.
For me, when we take away our only recourse for dealing with these distressful emotions, it can feel a lot like, this is a quote from Brené Brown. She uses this analogy of being a turtle without a shell in a briar patch. And I would say that that is a really great analogy for what doing body image work can feel like sometimes. This excavation, this investigation work can feel like we are a turtle without a shell and we are walking through a briar patch.
I remember with mine, it was a lot of that feeling, but like even getting pushed off a cliff and being like, oh my gosh. And not even getting pushed off a cliff, jumping off of it myself, jumping off that cliff and being like, am I going to be okay? Am I going to be okay? Like free falling.
Do you jump off of cliffs a lot? Like, is that something you've done?
I've done it before. I mean, I'm sure I've done it before. Yes, I've done it to jump into water.
I've never. There was one time we did some sort of like harness activity. And I remember they were like, you have to be the one to push yourself off. And I was like, nope, I will die right here. I will not jump off the ledge. And they're like, you get to decide when, but you have two choices. You either jump or you have to climb back down the ladder. And I was like, I don't want to do either. They both suck.
Oh, you know what I remember jumping, and now I think about it, I used to jump off the high dive for my swimming lessons. And you're like, I'm climbing all the way up here. And then like, oh, whoa, this is really big up here, right? Like, this is really huge. Can I really do this? And that's what I felt like with body image, especially as it was related to my relationship with food. And like, if all of these rules are gone, am I still okay? Right? Mm-hmm. And just like I jumped off that diving board when I was a kid, that high dive, it was far and big.
Yeah.
But realizing like, actually, I can swim. There's going to be this time when I'm free falling, but actually I can swim.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be okay.
I love this analogy of like diving off the deep end. If you are not ready to dive off the deep end, we get to start in the shallow end. We get to start by making sure, like, do we know how to swim? Do we know how to breathe underwater? Like, can we try in the shallow end first before being like, yeah, let's try the high board?
Well, and that actually leads me to a question for you, Brie, because I know you love talking about this. How do we explore with our clients body image triggers in a trauma-informed way?
I love this question. And when we say trauma-informed way, what I want you to think about is, I want you to think about diving off the deep end with no experience in swimming. That is setting you up for a disaster. When there are lifeguards, people will come out and, you know, get you out of the water. But even if you haven't swam in a really long time, jumping right off the diving board may not be the wisest thing to do if you haven't even been in the water and been like, oh, wait, no, I remember how to do this. There are two skills that we teach our clients to make sure that they are prepared to dive off the deep end. The first is we teach them how to scale the distress. That is clinical jargon for how intense does this feel in my body? I am a neurospicy person. So like any sort of Likert scale doesn't work for me. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a good measure of pain. So I like to do low, medium, or high. If I were to think, is this a low activation? Is this a medium activation? Or is this a high activation? Oftentimes, I will encourage people, unless it is a medium or low activation, we should not be touching it. Because if it is a high activation, what this tells us is that your nervous system is going to do whatever your nervous system needs to do to protect you. So instead of being like, yeah, go for the thing that feels the most activating, I say, let's start with something that feels mildly activating or something that feels moderately activating. You get to decide. I've had clients, I'm sure you've had clients that are like, nope, this is super distressful. I want to explore
it. Let's do it.
Okay. You are the captain of this ship, right? You have the autonomy to decide. From lived experience, I recommend against it. And I'll give you a perfect example. I don't know if you have anything. There are things that I still haven't uncovered in my own body image journey or my body image work because of how distressful it's been. That I'm like, this isn't worth it. Like, I don't need to. So for example, at the time of this recording, I still don't know how much I weigh. And anytime I get asked, like by the doctor, I make it up. I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to guess. If it was really that important, you would weigh me. So I don't feel bad if I'm off. But the distress of knowing is greater than my ability to manage it right now. And so what that tells me is there is so much trauma around knowing my weight. It does not serve me right now to be like, let's explore it now.
As you have things, if you have things in your life right now that are really high level of distress, and they score high on your activation scale, realize that like as you work on the things that are medium or low, you might gain more strength. And those things that are high will always be high. And maybe those will then you'll be ready to. So it's not like we're saying, oh, never work on this. But we're just saying, let's set this aside. Let's give you some building blocks first here.
Beautiful.
And then maybe you'll have some of the skills to work on some of these other things at the right time. And I love, Bree, that you mentioned that there's still some things for both of us that are activating. And it's kind of like, there's no race. You're not racing anybody else with your body image. I'm not racing anybody else. I'm just on my own space, my own timetable, my own path.
And if you don't believe me, go listen to the live that I did recently about accessing the core beliefs about not being able to ask for a wheelchair in the Miami airport. Evidence that not even I have arrived, which is why if we stop seeing this as a place of arrival, if we stop seeing this as a place that we are trying to get to, as opposed to what information can we gather from this? Will this help us get closer to the feelings that we want to have and experience and simultaneously move away from the feelings that we don't want to feel? What we want to achieve in the investigating triggers is we want to find the small win. Because oftentimes, healing body image is a lot like, for especially a neurospicy person, being like, we are going to clean out the entire. A lot of times what I see people do is, okay, let's dump everything out. Let's bring all the bins to the front. Let's dump out all the things and organize them. That sounds chaotic to me. What I would rather do is say, let's pick a bucket you know you can get to the bottom of today. Let's start there. There is no rush. There is no, yes, it might still feel unfinished, but we're going to do this one bucket at a time. It's the same for our bunch.
Absolutely. Okay, so what's that second thing, Bree?
So the second thing that we need to do, and it's so unsexy that it makes me even upset that like this is the secret sauce. The second unsexy thing that we need to do is we need to make sure we have coping skills to deal with distressful emotions. Janet and I deal with our emotions very differently. We've talked about this a lot on here. We've talked about it a lot in person. But we both have different coping skills of when we experience emotions, how to move through them. But by knowing ourselves, by knowing what we need, it allows us to meet immediate needs for ourselves that when we are feeling distress, whether it be body image or whether it be related to anything else, by having an arsenal of coping skills, by having a toolbox of coping skills, it allows us to figure out how do I take care of myself right here, right?
Yes, I love that. A coping skill for me is realizing what state I'm in and then like releasing judgment of having a response. I used to get judged a lot for having an emotional reaction to something that had happened. And so for me, a coping skill saying, this is valid, telling myself, this is valid that this is happening. And like, what do you need? Do you need to sit here for a few minutes? Do you need to walk around? Starting to say, what am I needing here?
It's so interesting because one of the things we were talking about earlier is how your body image starts with physical sensation, but then it ends with something cerebral, whereas mine is starts cerebrally and it usually ends with something somatic. So my coping skill, like my go-to coping skill would be deep breathing. And it's so funny because I used to be like, don't tell me to deep breathe. Like you can take that advice and shove it. Because I had never done it, or when I had done it, I'd been like, okay, it didn't work. And it's like, well, you didn't give your nervous system an opportunity to catch up. There's an entire therapeutic modality called biofeedback that says we can trick our nervous system out of being activated just by breathing.
Yeah.
And I have found that to be true in my own, even when I am like, I'm so heated or I'm so angry, I'm so activated, that if I can just take a few minutes and center myself and connect to my body and deep breathe, it might take more than like a few breaths, but if I can do it for like 3 or 4 minutes and really allow my nervous system to catch up, I can find that, oh, my brain and my body start to reconnect.
I love that when we get to teach our body grievous courses that we get to talk all about those skills. It's so like fun to get into like how individual every person is, into what coping skills work for them.
And that's the key, is that the coping skill that worked for Bree might not be the ones that work for Jana. And that's why I can't give you my coping skills. You have to figure out yourself what is healing to your nervous system, because it's not a carbon copy. We can't rinse and repeat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think this kind of leads right into like why we investigate the triggers. Why do we investigate these triggers? Why is it needed? Why is it necessary when it comes to body image? And I think that one of the biggest reasons why it's so needed and necessary is because we kind of have these autopilot responses that happen when we have a body image hurdle or trigger, whatever you want to call it. And it can really send us into fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. Those people-pleasing ways is what the fawn is like trying to make things better. Instead, when we investigate triggers and we can kind of dig into them a little bit and look at them in a different way, we kind of give ourselves some paths out of those survival mechanisms.
I think the most evident example is when I would go to the doctors and I would be like, I'm not going to get on the scale. And they'd be like, no, you need to. And I'd be like, okay. It's really hard to not go into that fawning response when we have been trained that that is a survival mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I notice even for myself of like, so we've talked about this a lot on the podcast this year of, you know, for me, I want to be a courageous communicator. I cannot be a courageous communicator and a people pleaser at the same time. And I just want to leave space that like, and if the courageous communication feels too hard, instead of judging yourself, instead of being like, oh, why couldn't I just tell the doctor or the nurse that, you know, to shove it, I'm not going to get on the scale. Instead, I would ask myself, what has happened in my life that has made asking for what I need so difficult?
So, Bree, how would somebody listening to this begin to investigate their body image triggers in a way that's trauma-informed and really safe to their nervous system?
I love this. Every episode of this series, we've ended with a journal prompt. Instead of a journal prompt, we're going to leave you with these steps to investigate your body image triggers in a trauma-informed way that feels good and aligned to your nervous system. The three things that I'm going to recommend for you to explore your body image hurdles in a trauma-informed way is, number one, scaling your distress on a scale of 1 to 10, or from low, medium to high. How distressful is this thought? I would not start with anything that is higher than a 5 or that is higher than a medium. And if you do, I would really recommend doing so with a coach or a therapist or a trained provider who can help you to maneuver through said distressful experiences. Number two, I would encourage you to build out your coping skills toolbox. And what's great about this is that this is going to help you not just with distressful body image. This is going to help you with distressful moments in life. That if you know, I know exactly what I need to take care of myself in this moment in a way that feels tangible and good for my nervous system, you can get through not just your clothes not fitting for the season, but you can get through somebody at the holiday table making a comment about your body or food. All of these skills are going to help you to manage distressful experiences. And I want to also just kind of take point, coping skills are not meant to alleviate distress. They're meant to mitigate. Like, they will help lessen how intense they feel, but it's not going to make them go away. Again, we're glad that they're there because they are protecting us, even if they're not doing a good job. And so figuring out how you cope, how you deal with distressful experiences is going to help you. And then number three, do you want to talk about number three, Tim?
Oh, I do. So number three is making sure that you find a community of people that share your experience, right? That you can be able to speak this out loud. You know, in groups we've had in our communities, we've had people say, I've never said these things out loud before.
Yeah.
Like, these are so vulnerable. We've never been able to say them out loud before. But, you know, another thing that they talk about is that shame keeps its power. If it's hidden and it's not exposed, it keeps its power. So we really, really recommend you finding a community of people that you can share your grief with, that you can be able to speak it. I know that you say this a lot, Bree. Can I steal your line here for a second? Grief shared is grief abated.
That's actually from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who created the stages of grief. And I think sometimes with sharing our grief out loud, there are more gremlins. There are more of these thoughts that come in that then we start to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I just said this out loud. People are going to think that I'm stupid. And it's, again, just the nervous system taking over, trying to protect you. And what I try to encourage my nervous system is like, hey, it has not worked trying to do this on our own. Let's let some light in and see what happens. I'd like to share is that if you are searching for that community, if you're like, I don't even know where community exists, where I can share my body grief with, that is why our community exists. Because it didn't, we created it. So we would like to formally invite you inside of the Body Grievers group. We are opening the doors for our membership that is going to start in January of 2024. We are looking for 10 people who are ready to dig deep into their body image distress, and they are ready to find new ways to cope. They are ready to begin living their biggest, best, unapologetic, beautiful life. They're ready to walk up to the diving board, but they also know that they got to swim in the shallow end first. And they are ready to get in the pool, and they are tired of putting their life on hold. And so if you are listening to this in real time, the doors for our program have opened on November 20th, 2023, and they will be open until the end of the year, where we will find our 10 best badass body grievers, body image explorers, who not only want to dig into their own relationship with their body, and they don't want to do it alone, but want to do it with us. So if this is you, we want to encourage you to check out our application, figure out if this is right for you. If you're not sure if it's right for you, fill out the application anyway, or you can send me an email at hello.bodyimagewithbree@gmail.com. If you're not sure if this is right for you, I'd love to talk you through any questions that we don't answer on our sales page. So if you want to do this live with group support, group community, we encourage you to check us out. We'd love to have you inside of this small, tight-knit container. And we love our body gravers. They're the best. So if you're interested, you can DM me and let me know that you're interested in the Body Grievers retreat and membership. We love you so, so much. Until next time.